Scripture reading today will be coming from Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 28. I'll be reading from the American Standard Version. And it reads, "Everyone, therefore, that heareth these words of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. And everyone that heareth these words of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and smote upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall thereof. And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these words, the multitudes were astonished at his teaching."
It's good to be here on this morning. Glad to see everyone as we have come to worship God in spirit and in truth. I want to let you know that if you're visiting with us, that you are indeed our honored guest, and we're thankful again for you being here. Hope, pray, and trust that if you're considering a place of worship and work for the Lord, consider the Ninth and Main Church of Christ. And one thing that we desire to do is to uphold what thus saith the Lord and to practice the scriptures therein. This year, we are going to be starting our theme on storing up a good foundation. Storing up a good foundation. Now, the verses that were read in our hearing, we will look at those in a few minutes, but our theme comes from 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 19 as it relates to storing up a good foundation. Now, the context of 1 Timothy chapter 6 is Paul exhorting Timothy to exhort the brethren, those who are wealthy, to share. And as they are sharing, they'll be storing up a good foundation. And the more I thought about that, I thought about how we in America are very wealthy, especially here. And when we consider the things that we ought to be doing to store up a good foundation in heaven, we want to keep in mind that's exactly what we're attempting to do. If you will, let's start off with some words of Jesus Christ. Turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21, we always want to make sure that our mindset is spiritual. We are a spiritual-minded people. It's very difficult at times to keep it spiritual because we live in this flesh. We live in a world that is carnal. Yet, Jesus would say something in Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse number 19, as it relates to laying up your treasures. Laying up your treasures. Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth," that's down here, "where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven." Notice how he focuses in on the spiritual, which is our focus as children of God, "where neither moth nor rust destroys or where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And so our aim is to lay up treasures in heaven. And we understand in order to lay up spiritual treasures, we have to be focusing on spiritual things. And this is why we keep our eyes on Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. He is the one that is going to be guiding us and leading us. Now look at the verse that was read in our hearing. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27, this requires us to build on the rock, which is Christ, which means that we have to stay focused on Jesus. We have to stay focused upon his word. And this is really what we're going to be aiming at all year, is focusing on the words of Jesus and the apostles' doctrine. Keep in mind that the apostles received their word from the Lord. And because we are reading and adhering to the apostles' doctrine in the church, we want to make sure that we keep our eyes on Jesus. Here we have two different hearers, if you will. We have two individuals that were building. One built their house on the rock. The other built their house upon the sand. But they heard the same message. And this is important for us to keep in mind. that it's possible to hear the same message that Jesus Christ has delivered, that the apostles have delivered, and build on something totally different than what it looks like. And so we have to be careful to make sure that we build upon Jesus. And the one that builds their house upon the rock, meaning the teachings of Christ, then their house is going to be able to stand and withstand just about anything that comes their way. But when you hear what thus saith the Lord and you don't build upon that, you build your house upon that which is sinking, that which is shifty, that which is going to be fading away. And so here we understand that the great was the fall of that individual that didn't build upon the rock, which is Christ. And so we want to keep in mind this year, as we're storing up a good foundation, that we're building upon Jesus Christ, building upon a strong foundation. And this is why we want to talk about foundational material all year long. We want to get back to the fundamentals. You know, I consider some of the great teams and athletes of our time. And one thing that they will always keep in mind is remaining with the basics, staying with the fundamentals. And anytime you get away from the fundamentals and the basics, well, things don't usually work out the way that you desire for them. And so our foundation here must be laid, and it must be laid properly. Two things I want us to consider as it relates to what should be in our foundation. Number one, turn to John chapter 13. In John 13, 34 and 35, I want us to consider one of the main ingredients of our foundation. One of the main ingredients of our foundation is something that even those who are outside of the Lord ought to be able to see. As a matter of fact, those who are on the outside ought to know that we are the disciples of Jesus Christ. How? By the love that we have one for another. What a clear passage. What a great understanding that God has given us. That we have a great love one for another. And sometimes, when we consider love, sometimes love chastises. Those whom God loves, He chastens, He corrects. Sometimes when we consider love, we understand building up one another, encouraging one another in the most holy faith. We understand that when we love one another, we can go to 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 8. And we understand that love is patient and kind, willing to yield, so forth and so on. And so here, John 13, 34 and 35, you remember the context there. Jesus had just girded himself with a towel, and now he is about to wash his disciples' feet. Keep in mind who was there. Judas was there. That's a hard lesson right there. That's a hard lesson right there. Judas was there and he was having his feet washed. And Jesus didn't say, you know, I'm not going to wash your feet because you're going to betray me. That's a hard lesson right there. Yet, that's part of the fundamental truths, that the world may be able to see that we have love one for another by the way we love one another, the way we serve each other. And so, the world is going to be able to see that. Look at John 17. In John 17, 20 through 23, there's another way that we need to make sure that our foundation is laid and that we lay our foundation strong. And it's not just by the love we have one for another, but it is with the unity we have with God and the unity we have with the Lord and the unity we have with one another. John 17, starting at verse number 20, Jesus in his prayer, powerful prayer, a very earnest prayer. He says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, the apostles' doctrine. In order that they all may be one as, now notice this, you, Father, are in me and I in you. One thing that we know for a fact that Jesus and the Father were one and still are one. That ought to encourage us. That ought to encourage us that there is no division among the Godhead. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse number 10, there should not be any division even among us. And here we see, very importantly, that the Father and the Son are one, and that Jesus' prayer, and we ought to fulfill his prayer. We ought to answer his prayer. And that prayer is that we ought to be one in them. Look at verse number 22. And the glory which you have gave me, I have given them that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be perfect or perfected in one,
and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. The world can know that we are one because we are unified. We are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, as Brother Brian preached on very greatly a few weeks ago. And so it's possible for us to be one. Those are some of the foundational truths that we want to discuss this year, that it is possible for us to be one. But it's going to take an endeavoring, a striving. It's going to take the Word of God and the Word of God only, which means that we have to get away from certain commentary. We have to get away from denominational doctrine, if you will. Why? Because we want to make sure that we speak with thus saith the Lord. And so this year, we're going to be laying up a good foundation, storing up a good foundation. So there are about 9 things that I know that I want to discuss. The elders, and I appreciate them very highly for what they have desired to do this year. Had to work through it my own self. There will be a few weeks out of every month that I won't be preaching. You'll be hearing from Brother Brian, and you'll be hearing from Brother Raphael, and hearing from Brother Stephen, and you'll be hearing from different brethren. And it's good, because you need to hear from different men that are able to preach the word, to be instant in season, out of season. Men like Brother Royce, who's one of the elders. So you're going to be seeing different men up here preaching, and there's nothing wrong with that. So I just want to kind of give you a heads up on that. It's not that Brother Mike doesn't want to preach or doesn't want to be here. No, this is designed by way of design. And I believe that all of us will benefit from this particular move that we're going to be making. But as we are going to be discussing certain subjects, there are a few subjects that we're going to be talking about that are fundamental. If you will, write these down. And we'll be discussing these on throughout the year, rather. Number one, we're going to be talking about the official charge of the church. The official charge of the church. Do you know that the official charge of the church is the moral development of the society around us? In Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them." We have a responsibility to develop the moral society around us. And that's a great task that we have. And the way that we do that is, of course, through teaching, but also through living, through the right lifestyle. And so moral development is going to be our aim on this year, and maintaining righteousness. One thing we see in Jesus Christ, we saw in Jesus Christ that he morally developed himself, Luke chapter 2, but he maintained righteousness, and therefore God gave him existence. We can do the same. And so we'll be discussing that. We'll be talking about the Great Commission, which involves Jesus Christ and him crucified, 1 Corinthians 2, 1 and 2. What do we mean by that? One of the fundamental truths that has to be taught and preached, and it's interesting that it's laced throughout the whole New Testament, is the cross of Christ. Do you know that if you get away from the cross, you get away from gospel preaching? We're going to be talking about the cross. Yes, we're going to be talking about the cross. We're going to talk about that suffering servant, Isaiah 53. We'll talk about how he was brutally marred, Isaiah 52, verse 14. We're going to talk about how it was prophesied, Psalm 22 through 24. Friends, we are going to be talking about the cross, Jesus Christ and him crucified. Under that, we're going to be talking about repentance from immoral behavior and remission of sins, which involves faith, baptism, eternal judgment, and other first principles. These are some of the things that we want you to invite your friends, your families, maybe those who are not members of the Lord's church, and say, hey, you know what? This month we're going to be talking about the cross. We're going to be talking about repentance and remission of sins and immoral behavior and how God desires for us to be in the moral culture in the midst of an immoral world, Matthew chapter 5 through 7. And so we're going to be talking about those things. But we're also going to be talking about emotionally driven topics. Emotionally driven topics. Emotionally driven topics like marriage, divorce, and remarriage. That's an emotionally driven topic. It's a topic that must be dealt with very carefully. We're not just going to be talking about the technical aspects of marriage, divorce, and remarriage. But we're going to be talking about how a good marriage will not lead to divorce and remarriage. And that even if infidelity takes place, that remarriage or divorce doesn't have to take place. We're going to be talking about all of those things. Why? Because our society is laced with it. We have people who are throwing away things. We have people who are not even entering into marital covenants. They're just living together. We need to talk about those things. And the reason why we need to talk about those things, because if the church doesn't talk about it, we live in the world to talk about it, and that's not good. That's just like you allowing the school system to talk to your children about sex ed. That's the wrong move. You ought to do that at home. Take care of that at home. And so we're going to be talking about those things. We're going to be talking about fleshly lust, which war against the soul, and the three aspects that draw men away from God. 1 John 2:15-17. Loving the world, or the lust of the world, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. We'll talk about those things. Friends, these are fundamentals. We have to talk about these things. And they need to be talked about from the pulpit. So therefore, storing up a good foundation, we're going to be laying a good foundation all year. Fundamentals of the faith. As a matter of fact, we're not trying to win the pennant. We're not trying to win the Super Bowl. We're not trying to win anything down here. We're trying to go to heaven. We're trying to be like Jesus Christ. And so we're going to be talking about our role in society. Drinking, modesty, New Testament worship. How should we act in New Testament worship? What should we wear in New Testament worship? What type of reverence should we have in New Testament worship? And we'll talk about those. Number four, we're going to be talking about marks of pure religion. James 1:26-27. We'll demonstrate how pure religion promotes a clear purpose of Christianity, a proper attitude, a powerful fellowship, and true progress in our love for God and mankind. We're going to be talking about those things. And friends, pure religion is very important. One of the subjects that has been given to me at Polishing the Pulpit this year is dealing with something like this. And why do I need to go to worship? Why can't I just worship God at home or worship God in some other locale? Why should I have a need to even assemble? Well, pure religion won't allow you to do that. As a matter of fact, pure religion will command you to follow the will of God. And so we're going to be talking about those things. And friends, there is a clear purpose in Christianity. There is a proper attitude that all of us must maintain. Fellowship will be powerful when we have pure religion in our hearts. And true progress in our love for God and mankind will definitely be seen. And so, number five, in our foundation, we're going to be looking at our pursuit of excellence in four different ways. It's interesting. Philippians 1:10. Do you know that Paul told the church there at Philippi that they should be approving things that are excellent? Excellent. Friends, that's foundational. That's foundational. Four things that we're going to be looking at as relates to our pursuit of excellence. We're going to be looking at our pursuit of excellence in our mental state. 2 Peter 1:2-11, add to our faith. In our emotional state, Galatians 5:22-23, walking in the spirit. In our spiritual state, Romans 8:1-2, no condemnation in Christ. Now that's an important one there. The other two are important, but that's important. Do you understand that when you realize that you are not condemned as you are walking according to the Spirit's teaching, that gives you a sense of peace and motivation to do the will of God even more? There's no condemnation. If I make one mistake, I'm not out. We got to keep that in mind. It's okay. It's okay to grow in grace. We're going to be talking about that. Our pursuit of excellence, even in our physical bodies or with our physical bodies, 1 Timothy 4:7-8. Yeah, bodily exercise profit little. It profits them. And so we're going to be talking about that as well. Number six, we're going to be talking about the need for vigilance, being watchful, understanding that we have an adversary, the devil, who is trying to take us out. Friends, do you understand that you can come and you can have five acts of worship properly done? But if you don't realize that there's an enemy out there trying to take you out, you will lose it all.
There are some people, they got the five acts of worship right, but Satan got them the rest of the week. I'm not talking about here, but it does happen.
And so we have to be sober, vigilant. Why? Our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. He's trying to devour.
And let's keep that in mind. Those are foundational principles that we need to be keeping in mind.
The need for vigilance. Look at Matthew 16. I find it very interesting that Jesus, on many occasions, would tell individuals, wake up. Have your eyes open. Look what's going on around you. Not just to his disciples, but also even to those who could care less about him. The religious leaders, scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees.
You know, they didn't care nothing about Jesus. It is okay to know when people don't care about you. That's okay. Jesus stayed, he just stayed focused. He stayed focused.
And so in Matthew 16, verses 1 through 4, then the Pharisees and Sadducees came and testing him. Doesn't sound like people who love Jesus. And asked him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Now notice what Jesus calls these people, hypocrites. You know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the sign of the times. One of the foundational teachings that we're going to be discussing are the signs of the times. We have to understand the times that we're living in. In 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32, the sons of Issachar understood the times and what Israel ought to do. It's okay to understand what's going on in our society. Friends, we have to understand the times. And we have to govern ourselves, Brother Royce, accordingly. This is not the 50s. It's not the 60s. It's not the 70s. It's not the 80s. It's not the 90s. It's not the 2000s. It's not the teens anymore. We're in 2020. Guess what? People are doing things a whole bunch different. I said it that way on purpose. They're doing it a whole bunch different today. We got to have our eyes open. We have to know what's going on around us. The job of the pulpit, the job of the leadership in the church is to make sure that the people of God understand what's going on around them and don't get drawn away by certain things. Those are foundational truths. We don't want you sitting in a corner saying, I'm doing all of these things right. Why is this taking place in my life? We want you to understand what's going on around you. And so Jesus would say in Luke chapter 8 and verse number 18, take heed how you hear. Make sure you're watching what you're listening to. Jesus would say in Matthew chapter 7, 15 and 16, watch the actions, not just the words of people. Why? Because they're demonstrating to you that they come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravenous wolves. And so God wants us to keep these things in mind. And the job of the pulpit is to make sure that you understand what's going on around you. You'll have men like Brother Brian, I know for a fact, who can bring in some political things that I probably can't because that's not my cup of tea. That's fine. But we need to be listening. And we need to know what's going on around us as the people of God. And even though we're in the world and we're not of the world, we can't be oblivious of what's going on in the world. Okay? And so we have to know how to stand up against certain things and how to do it according to the will of God. Three more things that we're going to be discussing. We're going to be talking about the power to leave confusion through clarity. The power to leave confusion through clarity. If you're not careful, even the best will not see the confusion in that which is clear. You'll have people who will try to bring confusion when something is just black and white. I find it very interesting, just in the last few weeks of talking to certain people, how they will attempt to muddy the waters on something that's absolutely clear. Be careful, friends. That's the job of this Bible. That's the job of the pulpit, is to help us not get caught up in the philosophies of men, Colossians 2:8. To get caught up in the confusion of the world. And one thing that God's word does, John 8, 31 and 32, Jesus said, you can know the truth, set you free. And truth always clears things up. Now, we may grapple with it. We may be so emotionally driven that we can't see the truth. But the truth will prevail. And so, let's be mindful of that. Number 8, we're going to be talking about the work of the church. We're going to talk about elders and ministers, evangelists, teachers, members. How Ephesians 4, 11 through 16 demonstrates how they all should be working in unison. And when it's not, when this group is not, then dysfunction takes place. Frustration takes place. And ultimately, the congregation collapses. So we're going to be talking about those things. So the work of the elders, the work of the minister, the evangelist, the teachers. Now, keep in mind, there's a difference between an evangelist and teacher. There's a difference between an evangelist, a teacher, and a minister. They're different offices, and they are divinely ordained offices. Having a minister, having an evangelist, a teacher, that's not an option that God has given us. Those are divinely ordained offices. It's just as ordained as an eldership and a deaconship. So we'll talk about those. And last but not least, before we talk about the plan of action for a few minutes, we're going to be talking about something I believe we have in order that's pretty good. Doesn't need a lot of work. Is strategies of communication. Our identity, our design, the simplicity of the message, the advertisement. I believe, I'm not sure, we got 4 or 5 billboards with the radio station up, if I'm not mistaken. We've got a sign out front. Some of those things are pretty visible. But I was thinking about some of the things that we need to be discussing. It's all right to have some stationary billboards, but we need some movable billboards. Yeah, we need some epistles with flesh around it. We need brethren that's going to go out and be an epistle for the Lord. Yeah, we need some movable billboards, ones that's going to open up their mouths and talk about Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and to demonstrate that this is how you love your spouse, and this is how you rear children, and this is how you love on brethren, and this is how you love your enemy. We need some movable billboards, some billboards that's going to go everywhere and teach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Real quick, if you will, grab one of your plan of actions, some things that we want to discuss for a few seconds. And I'm just going to highlight some things, not inside of the book, but just the very last page, the year at a glance. And this is part of some things that I want to discuss. And I want you to make a covenant in your own mind of getting more involved with the church, of helping us to do more. And the reason why is because all of us are needed. Every last one of us. And so, with that being said, we're going to have a Friends and Family Day on the 26th of this month. It's going to be a potluck luncheon. Brother Brian is going to be preaching that Sunday morning. And that's one of the things that we discuss. We look forward to men like that, like him, who is able to talk about family and talk about what families need. And so he's going to be discussing some of those things. We're going to have family devotionals, 5 or 6 of those this year. We're going to be having a Sweethearts Banquet. And that banquet is going to be for only the couples. It's going to have, we're going to have babysitting at an alternate location. So, you know, you're going to have to drop your children off somewhere else and then come here. And that ought to put a smile on your face. So you don't have to worry about somebody coming to get you. Come get your kids. No, that's going to be handled. And so we're going to be doing that. But one thing that I want to stress, because this is my passion, we're going to have about 4 evangelism efforts. When we all come together, as many as we possibly can,
And, you know, the radio station does well. Billboards are doing good. But friends, that's not our work only. We can't sit back and let that do the work. We got to do the work. That means that we need to come together and come up with an effort to go out and seek and save the lost. Just last year, we had Brother Barry Hatcher here. Did a wonderful job with Fishers of Men. We're going to capitalize on that. And we're going to do our best to seek and save the lost with that method. I believe it'll work well. And so let's try to get some lost souls in here. Let's teach people how to have a better life in Christ. Or teach them to live morally according to God's will and God's standard. So we're going to have a couple of those family devotionals. I want you to keep in mind that our Ladies Day with Sister Carly is coming up, and gospel meeting with Brother Clay Bond, a husband and wife team, just like what we had on this past year with the Stubblefields. I believe, ladies, you'll be in for a treat, because Sister Carly is an excellent Bible student, and she's a moral individual. She's upright. And just as Sister Stubblefield is, she is too. But I believe you'll really love Brother Clay Bond, great man of God, quotes scripture, loves the word of God. And so we have many things that are outlined for us on this year. Go through the plan of action. A lot of work was put into it. Look at some of the things this year. At least for the first couple of months, we're not going to have anything on our walls, so we can paint for this place, and then we'll go from there. But we do want to be building on a foundation. Keep reading, and we'll come up with a system that you can know that we can tally up and keep up with. And I guarantee you, your life will continue to grow and be what God would have it to be. And so we want to encourage you to be building up your faith and storing up a good foundation. And so you can hear those words, well done. And so keep those things in mind. Keep those things in mind. And if there are some lessons that you want to hear, let us know. We'll study those and we'll make sure that it is thoroughly studied and presented, so you can have a better understanding of what thus saith the Lord. And so, let's love one another. Let's love our enemies. Let's teach people the gospel. Let's love the Lord with all of our hearts. And I guarantee you, you'll hear well done. If you're not a child of God, we want you to consider studying the scriptures with us. What a blessing it would be if you really don't know the Lord, but you'll come to learn how to love Him and how to obey Him this year and be a child of God, one who is striving to do His will and His will only, not your will nor the will of man, but the will of God. Well, we can get you started on the right track by having you to consider that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's the Son of Man. He's the Savior of the world. Reminded of Jesus' own words, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Reminded of the words of Paul in Romans 5, verse number 8, God demonstrated His love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. But friends, those are great words. Why put those words off? Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins. Confess Jesus Christ to be Lord and be buried in water for the remission of your sins. Maybe you've been baptized, and maybe you haven't been walking morally. Maybe you haven't been upright. Maybe you haven't been part of the band of brothers that God would have you to be. Well, let's make that right. Because when we consider our Father and our God, Jesus the Christ, they're upright, they're perfect, and all of us are striving to be like that. And so every day we might find ourselves telling the Father, I'm sorry, I need to do better, I need to get better. But let's not just say it. Let's actually do it. Let's actually get better. Let's actually think better. Let's actually be better. As we stand, as we sing the Savior's invitation.